American dream. His last breath, he'll always be a soldier.
Heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
The National Defense is made possible by Ford. Go further. By The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. By ADT Security. More than just a line in the sand. By VSP. For more information on how VSP can help you with your corrective vision needs, visit their website at VSP.com. And by Farmers Insurance. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at Farmers.com.
This is the National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And Jerry, as always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you, the men and women serving in our military. It's for the millions of veterans out there, and it's for all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, dun.
Of course, yes. Always. Farmers Insurance, great partner with the program, Jerry. And we get to talk to Tim Felks today. Tim is the head of property claims, and they are doing some major work in Houston, man.
You know,
some
that's big stuff. That's a big job.
Yeah, it's a great, right? Huge job. Tim, wow. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Is it a big job?
It is a big job, yeah. But it's one that we're happy to be a part of.
How long have you been with Farmers?
I've been with Farmers for just over 20 years.
I was going to say forever, looking at his bio.
And
he started Farmers.
He's with the Air Force.
Yep.
Yeah, was with the Air Force. And, you know, he had Colonel Johnson on last time from Farmers talking about the veterans ERG. And Tim is also the executive sponsor of the veterans ERG.
Yeah, and ERG, they play such an important role for our reservists, the National Guard people who are deployed and stand guard, make sure they get what's coming to them from their employers.
Absolutely. Tim, tell me what you guys are doing in Houston with the rebuild. Man, that's a situation there that I would imagine feels like it's never going to be finished, right?
Yeah, it can be daunting, especially for the people who, you know, who live there and are and are going through it. And one of the things I really like about Farmers, and one of the things that keeps me at Farmers Insurance, is our commitment to helping communities rebuild after an event like this. But we've committed to send people to Houston for a year to help with the rebuild efforts. We're working with SBP and AmeriCorps to send people to help rebuild in the areas that were impacted by the flood. And we have people that go typically for 2 weeks at a time. We'll send a group of volunteers. I took my leadership team there a few weeks ago, and we spent a week there rebuilding two houses, along with a larger group of volunteers from Farmers. It's just heartbreaking to see entire neighborhoods that were impacted, you know, by the floods. But at the same time, it's heartwarming to see volunteers local and from across the country coming out to help people rebuild.
So give us an idea. What was the total dollar amount of damage? Did anybody ever figure that out?
So from an industry perspective, I've seen everywhere from $1 billion to $1.5 billion in total damages. I don't know that they've got it completely calculated yet.
Wow.
There's so much uninsured damage, from the floods. I think it'll be a while before they get an accurate number on that.
So how are the neighborhoods doing? I mean, how far along is the rebuilding process?
Are there neighborhoods?
Yeah. Are people staying?
So yes, there are neighborhoods. And, you know, the people that I met are very resilient. There were houses in the neighborhood where neighbors were helping each other rebuild. There are groups like SBP and AmeriCorps sending people to help rebuild. There were local churches, local nonprofits helping folks rebuild, but it's really just getting started. It's a daunting task. Just imagine your entire house from anywhere from 1 feet, 2 feet, 3 feet, and below, everything has to be replaced.
Oh, geez.
I don't know if you've ever done a home improvement or a home, something to do, a home remodeling project yourself. I have.
Jerry just did one.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You did it yourself?
No.
No, he did it right.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I attempted to do one by myself once, and what I thought was 3 days turned into about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the people there are realizing, that it's just a big task.
Hey, you even had Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a PGA and spokesperson for Farmers. He actually got down there and did some work.
Did he actually pick up a hammer, or does he do projects like I do, stand there and kind of?
Does work. He actually went there and he pitched in. He helped out just like everybody else did. And he did spend some time with a family, you know, with a child there, teaching them, giving them some golf tips. And
we
have some good video of him working with the family there, teaching the little fella how to golf. But no, he picked up a hammer and got to work just like everybody else.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, he really is. He's a great brand ambassador for us.
Yeah, and you know, you got that job, Tim, of property claims, head of property claims, and you guys have had to have some doozies. I mean, just from the commercials that I've seen and some of those things that Farmers has run across.
Yeah.
Can you maybe give us an idea of some of the more bizarre things that you've seen?
Some of the more bizarre claims that I've seen personally. So I actually started as a claims adjuster, so I've had some firsthand knowledge of some of them.
Yeah.
A claim from several years ago, I won't say which state it was in, but it wasn't in California, a state that I was a supervisor in. We actually had a husband who bought fireworks and didn't want his wife to know, so he hid them in the oven.
And
so just, yeah, you can imagine.
Wow.
What happened.
Where I come from, we got a name for people like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Good
idea.
We took care of the loss, but I don't know about the marital counseling.
Wow. Yeah, right.
So you guys, Farmers covers everything, it appears, if I am to believe the commercials.
Just about.
Well, we don't cover everything, but we have a policy that outlines what's covered, and there are some exclusions. But you'd be surprised at some of the things that are covered, and that's, you know, that's why we want to, you know, we encourage people, if they've got something, give their agent a call and talk to them to see if there's coverage for
and especially paragraph 92, part A, subsection J, where it talks about we won't cover fireworks in the oven.
But they covered it.
But they won't anymore.
Yeah, right, exactly.
No, that was covered.
So you,
but I'll bet that person hasn't made that mistake again.
Yeah, you make that mistake once, right?
Yeah.
So you guys are trying to provide homes for 100 Houston families this year. That's unbelievable.
That's a lot.
And
yeah. You
know, one is a lot, right? I mean, as far as the reward and satisfaction of seeing somebody actually have a home again. Tim, where are these people staying right now that were affected?
You know, some are staying in hotels. Several are staying with family members. And some, frankly, are staying in their cars. I was actually got to be there for the delivery of one of the houses we were working on. When I was there, we were working on two houses, and we actually finished one and got to deliver it to the family. And this was a family of four who had been staying in hotels and staying with relatives, really just bouncing from place to place. Young children, finally had her house delivered back to her, and it was really heartwarming.
Wow.
It was really touching. And, you know, SBP and AmeriCorps, these are volunteers who come out and spend months helping people rebuild after events like this. And I'm just so proud of Farmers to be partnering with them and, you know, to be able to participate in that. It's one thing to spend a week or two in a house doing drywall, ripping up carpet, doing the work. But when you get to actually see the homeowner's face and be there with them when they get to walk into the house for the first time, it really is moving.
And it's really important that we need to make it known and mention this again, that it's just not, you're just not sending random people there to help.
Yeah.
There are hundreds of employees and agents.
Yeah.
Who are willing to go down there. And let's face it, if you've ever spent any time in Houston,
yeah,
you know, if you're there working without air conditioning,
right,
or mosquito nets,
yeah,
it's not much fun.
Yeah, and we have people lining up to volunteer to go.
Wow.
That's the part that's it really reminds me of being in the Air Force. I mean, it's people who want to serve and they want to help others, and that's really a cool thing.
So, you know, Jerry, you and I have talked to a lot of great organizations on the show. Team Rubicon comes to mind, of course, the Red Cross. Now these are organizations that are set up to do that.
That's right.
What's an insurance company doing in the middle of something like that, Tim?
You know, that's a great question. In the 20 years I've been with Farmers, you know, we go in after a disaster, we write estimates, we give checks, and that's really just scratching the surface of what needs to be done.
Wow.
And so we have an entire group at Farmers who look for ways for us to serve our communities, and we actually partner with Team Rubicon. We partner with SBP because we want to be there to see things through. It's one thing for our employees to be there right after a tornado or a hurricane or a fire and write that check, but it really is gratifying to be there at the end as well. And we want our communities to know we're not abandoning them. We're not going to leave them after the check is written. We're there with them to see them through this process.
That is impressive.
So you're more than just an insurance company.
Oh man, yeah.
Some big corporate entity that doesn't care. You know. You're part of the community.
That is really impressive. I mean,
well, and that's we have agents in community, small business owners, and we they are the community. They are part of that community, and we support them, and we support the communities that they're in.
Hey, Tim, we're talking to Tim Felks, head of property claims for Farmers. And when I was reading the information about you, because we're based in Kansas City, you lived in Olathe, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually lived in Lenexa, moved away, and then I lived in Gardner. And my son is actually a police officer in Olathe.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. So that means automatically you're a Royals fan?
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, all right. There we go.
So, and Tim, you need to know, Randy has an RV.
Yep.
And so do I.
Yeah.
And thus far, no moose attacks or anything like that. however.
That's right.
You never know.
You never know. Especially with Jerry, you don't know. There could be a claim coming down that you've never seen before, Tim. Hey, listen, thank you to Farmers, and thanks for what you guys are doing in Houston. It's just incredible that a company, any company, would go that far for the community. So, Tim, thank you. Thank you again, and thanks for the time on the program.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Randy and Jerry. Thanks a lot.
We'll be right back with the National Defense right after this word from Farmers Insurance. When you're dealing with life's ups and downs, it helps to know the ins and outs of insurance. Farmers Insurance has been sharing practical insurance knowledge for more than 89 years. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Hey, welcome back in here to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and it is time for a brand new feature on the program, the Morgan Stanley Money Brief. We're so happy to have Morgan Stanley as a partner on the show. And Kurt Neddenrip, a Morgan Stanley advisor, is here with us. Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Randy.
Hey, it's nice to have you on the show. And this is going to be a regular feature every single week, the Morgan Stanley Money Brief. And hopefully we can wade through some of these things that everybody is always having trouble with, and especially veterans. And you've got a great military background, don't you?
I do. I was honored to serve for 23 years in the Nevada Army National Guard, enlisted for 4 years as 11 Bravo Infantry, spent the rest of my career as an armor officer.
Well, thank you so much for your service. I know that Morgan Stanley has always been a big supporter of veterans, and maybe once we get into this, it's going to make it, I don't know if simple is the word, but kind of understandable about finances. You know, I mean, for a lot of people, the concept of financial planning, just those words can seem just a little bit overwhelming. How can the listeners break the process down and decide where to start, Kurt?
Well, Randy, when we think about that lifelong process of financial planning and management, it can be a bit daunting. So what we like to do is start by focusing on three key life strategies that most military members are going to need to transition through: their military career, their civilian career after their time in the military, and their retirement. And those are the three key segments we want to look at.
Well, and that's like, the three stages of your life there as a military person. Why is it important to focus on those life stages as you start the planning process?
Well, while every veteran's unique, most will move through these stages, and each one carries unique goals and missions. So by identifying which life stage we're in, we can narrow our focus on the key considerations for each phase.
So can you give us some examples?
Yeah, certainly. For most, military career is going to happen early in adulthood. Therefore, we've got to focus on building an emergency fund,
right,
starting a retirement account so that we can begin the lifelong habit of investing. And we may want to buy our first home or begin building equity. And many will have children in that stage and form households. Most veterans don't fully retire when they leave the military, so most will move on to a civilian career. Some of the considerations in that stage include sending children to college, planning for future health care expenses that aren't covered by the military, planning for retirement. And then finally, we all hope to someday move into the retirement stage. And in that stage, we're likely to be focused on maintaining our lifestyle,
right,
ensuring our income sources, and legacy planning. What do we want to have happen to our assets when we're gone?
Kurt, why didn't I talk to you about 30 years ago?
You know, I do talk to folks about that all the time,
oh,
and that's a common question.
Yeah.
And my thing is, even if you didn't start 30 years ago, start today.
We're talking to Morgan Stanley advisor Kurt Neddenrip, and we're talking with the Morgan Stanley Money Brief right here on the National Defense. All right, so you talked about the stages, and each one carries with it the unique planning considerations. And so how do we focus our efforts on what is the most important at that stage?
And just as important is what we do in each of the first two stages. That has a direct impact on how well we're prepared for the next stage.
Yep.
So in our next segment, we'll discuss the specific steps and action items we should consider in each stage so that we set the conditions for accomplishing our financial missions.
Yeah, you know, and Kurt, what the great thing is, this is all very relevant and very real to military and veterans, because you're talking about missions, you're talking about purpose, you're talking about individual responsibility, which is all what you do in the service, right?
That's right. I found in my career that the same things I learned in the military can apply to finances.
Yep.
You're accomplishing missions, you've got to have a plan, and even though when you go into that plan, things do change a little bit, but you're better off with a plan than without one.
This is going to be great. So next week, a brand new topic. Kurt Neddenrip will be back, Morgan Stanley advisor for the Morgan Stanley Money Brief. Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you, Randy.
We'll be right back here in the National Defense.
This broadcast is for informational purposes only. The information, views, and opinions expressed on this broadcast are not necessarily those of Morgan Stanley Wealth Management or its affiliates, but are those of the presenters and their guests. The information presented is current as of the original date of this broadcast. Neither the information provided nor any opinion expressed herein constitutes a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security. This radio program does not provide individually tailored advice. It has been prepared without regard to the individual financial circumstances and objectives of persons who receive it. The strategies discussed may not be suitable for all individuals. Morgan Stanley recommends that individuals independently evaluate particular strategies and encourages them to seek the advice of a financial advisor. The appropriateness of a particular strategy will depend on an individual's circumstances and objectives. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And, man, I love having these guys on. Paralyzed Veterans of America do so much great work for veterans. And the Deputy Executive Director, Sean Castle, is with us. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure to get on today and talk with you about Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Man, I got to tell you, I want to talk about you for just a second here, Sean, because I read your bio, and wow. I mean, you know, first of all, professional wheelchair basketball player, but
yes,
let's kind of get into your, if we can, your military history and your injury, if we could. You were MP?
Yes, sir.
And how long, three deployments, right?
Yeah, so I was in from 2000 to 2005. I was a military police officer and protective services agent. I was stationed in Heidelberg, Germany. I was deployed to Kosovo, Macedonia, and various other missions as dictated during the PSD work. Yep. Hmm.
And then in 2003, injured during a training exercise, right?
Yeah, I was injured during a training exercise where I cracked two of my vertebrae, herniated three of my discs. I had a surgery that was experimental done in Heidelberg, Germany, where they put prosthetic discs into my spinal cord. The surgery actually gave me a lot of the feeling back into my legs. I was able to return to work actually as a police officer in the civilian side of the house. And what I did not realize is, and wasn't told, was that the disc might become hypermobile and start hitting my spinal cord, and that's exactly what happened. So about a year and a half after that surgery, I had returned to work as a police officer in the private sector, and I was walking down the hall one day at work and felt a bolt of lightning go down one leg, a bolt of lightning go down another leg, face first into the concrete, where I had lost feeling. And to be honest, my first thought was not, oh, my God, I lost feeling. It was, oh, my God, I think I broke my nose because I hit face first. But I had a second surgery that was the attempt was to put metal on metal to keep the spinal or to keep the disc from becoming hypermobile further. And I was told going in, there's only about a 40% chance that this may actually work, and we can't even guarantee that. I came out of the surgery and they said no, that the surgery had actually failed, and that the discs are still hypermobile, and now that there's extra metal on my spinal cord. It all the fun stuff that comes along with being a spinal cord injury patient, I actually got after the second failed surgery that was meant to correct the first failed surgery. It took a while. It took about 4 years fully for me to come back around and fully grasp that my life wasn't over regardless of what was going on with me physically. And it was a chance encounter at a VA hospital after I almost lost my life to an allergic reaction to pain medicine in 2012. That brought me fully in line with adaptive sports, which you quickly spoke about, and the world around me to the many things I've been so blessed to be a part of since then, including the Paralyzed Veterans of America.
And you sure as hell haven't let any of that keep you down.
But and then the other part that you mentioned about the allergy, that you have an allergy to all pain medications and muscle relaxers.
Take any of it. Yeah, I can't take any of it. I found that out the very hard way. I ended up in a hospital bed for about 2 weeks with my wife there, who is my caregiver, who has been with me every step of the way, was in the hospital literally holding my hand saying, baby, you're going to be okay. We're going to get through this, as the doctors were saying, we don't know for sure. But it was my wife holding my hand, letting me know how much she loved me and how much she was there no matter what happened, that gave me a whole lot of strength and solace that no matter what happened, even if I didn't make it out of that room, I knew I was loved and supported and had an unbelievable caregiver there with every single day. And my wife to this day is the main reason I'm able to get up out of bed and go forward with life. You know, that support there, that, you know, my wife helps take care of me every single day. You know, some of the basic functions of life, I fully lean on my wife for every single day. Some of the things that people take for granted, like just taking a shower correctly or, you know, getting your clothes on, my wife is there with me, helping me and doing these things. So, I'm fully allergic to all these, you know, pain medicines, muscle relaxers. The only thing I can take is a little bit of ibuprofen, and even that has to be low because the second surgery actually did a lot to my stomach as well, which means I can't take a lot of things that are damaging to my stomach.
How inspirational, though. I mean, seriously, you show up somewhere, Sean, and tell your story, and I'm sure everybody in the building goes, nothing going to bother me today.
Well, you know, in the entire organization, they've done so much for research into spinal cord injuries,
absolutely. And you know, to answer your question really quickly, I did a speech last week, and I had one of the questions during the Q&A asked me. They said, Sean, you know, you've gone through all this. Where does the positive attitude come from? And I know my answer is the same thing that every other veteran who, you know, has ever served, regardless of where they served, can state the same thing. And my answer was simply this: I came home. There are millions of families who would give anything for their family member to be sitting in this position, regardless of physical ailment, right there next with them. My family can hug me. My family can say, I love you. My family sees me on holidays. And I owe it to the men and women, and we all owe it to the men and women who sacrificed everything in defense of our country to get up every day and live life to the absolute fullest, regardless of what, you know, day in and day out things we may think that are big deals, and in perspective, they're really not. So my attitude comes from that, and also my attitude comes from my involvement with the Paralyzed Veterans of America, who at the most crucial stage in my life, you know, showed up in my hospital room and said, no, you're going to be taken care of. We're here for you. They rolled into my hospital room and told me, we're going to take care of you, and they have every step of the way. I found out about adaptive sports by going to the National Veterans Wheelchair Games, you know, the 33rd annual in Tampa, Florida, which was my first introduction, and then meeting, you know, some amazing men and women who told me, you know that you can go back to college and play adaptive sports. You know that there's all these amazing opportunities to you. you know, there's, you know, like with the Paralyzed Veterans of America, you know, paving access for veterans employment, which is our, you know, one of our employment programs we have that helps men and women every single day for free, completely, to be able to help resume, job placement, everything you can think of in the employment field. And not only do we help veterans, we help family members, caregivers along the line, completely for free. So I, you know, and that's the big thing that I love about the PVA more than anything is not only is everything we do free, if you're a veteran, if you're a caregiver, if you're a spouse, all of our programs, regardless if you're a member or not, is free. So I always say Paralyzed Veterans of America is a little bit of a misnomer because it doesn't tell the truth, because while our main core is paralyzed veterans, we help every veteran, every family member. So I am beyond honored to be in the position I'm in now and humbled at the men and women who have come before me.
Well, aside from helping with employment and spinal cord injury research and the sports programs
and caregivers. And
I wanted to touch on that.
Yeah.
PVA is a strong and powerful voice in Washington, D.C. And you mentioned your wife being a caregiver, and caregivers are the hidden heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people like Sean's wife who get up every day and take care of their loved one. That is a lot of work. It's a lot of
24/7.
It's a lot of strain.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not an easy job.
Right.
And our government needs to do a better job of taking care of our caregivers.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that everybody who's ever been around, you know, family members in the military understands that we don't just, you know, as a soldier, we don't just go on deployment by ourselves. Our family takes that deployment just as much as we do. So when we come home injured, they take that injury just as much as we do. And right now, you know, the post 9/11 caregiver program, which, you know, my wife and I were part of, that program is, it's a wonderful thing. It allows, you know, spouses, caregivers, moms, dads, whoever it is, to, you know, have the ability to take the time to take care of the veteran who borne, you know, the biggest brunt of battle. But the problem right now is that it's only targeted at post 9/11 generation veterans. And there are millions of other families who sacrifice just as much as post 9/11 veterans. And it's an arbitrary thing to say, you know, if you got catastrophically injured September 10th, 2001, sorry. You know, and that's one thing that we are, our biggest priorities is, you know, day in and day out fighting for the expansion of the Caregiver Act, because it's, when we send our military to war, when we say, you know, you are going over and you may not either come back or you may come back catastrophically injured, the one thing that we tell them is you will be taken care of when you come home. So to say that, no, if you're not part of the 9/11 generation, that we're not really going to fully live up to that promise, it's not right. So PVA, you know, Paralyzed Veterans of America, every day is fighting, you know, for that, you know, to make sure that we are expanding it, that all of our men and women who have earned those benefits are getting them, not just, you know, a certain arbitrary generational date that we put in.
And you know, I don't want to be, you know, sound ignorant about this, but who is opposing that? Who would oppose that?
Well, it's Congress, because Congress cannot act. We all know that. And it's not just Congress, it's administration.
Sure. Right.
And it's not just this administration, and it's not just this Congress. This has been going on for years.
That's terrible.
We've got, I think, a very critical problem. And PVA, I know, has got to feel very strongly on this. There's a lot of talk about privatizing VA.
Yep.
And VA provides specialized care that you're not going to get anywhere else in the world. They do all kinds of research, and PVA can certainly speak to the important work VA does as far as specialized care goes.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you're a catastrophically injured veteran like myself, I go to a spinal cord injury clinic. I go to have my annual eval every single year. And when I go there, within a span of 3 days, I get to see specialists in all the different fields that check not only my injury, they check my mental health, they check my financial background, they make sure that everything across the board, my benefits, that my medical side of the house is being taken care of completely. And in 3 days, I get to see a gauntlet of specialists that ensure that, hey, anything, every priority, physical therapist, recreational therapist, you name it, across the board, if I need anything, it is being addressed within that three-day window. Now, if you were to send me to the outside doctors, if you're sending me to the outside world, how long do you think it would take to see a psychiatrist, mental health, to see rec therapist, PT? And on top of that, not only just the time frame it would take, but the specialists who know better than anybody, because they work day in and day out with nothing but spinal cord injury patients, PTSD, you know, traumatic brain injury, loss of limb. They know all the things to look for.
Right.
They
right.
know if someone comes in and, you know, they're acting a little different than they did last time. Okay, this is something we need to look at. They know better than anybody else in this country what our veterans need and things to look for to ensure that our veterans are being taken care of. So to try and privatize specialized care, you know, it's, there's no other organization in our country that can provide what the Department of Veterans Affairs provides for our men and women who come home. And that's absolutely something that has to be hammered home over and over and over, that no, privatization of the VA is a bad idea, because you're taking away the specialization that comes with working with veterans every single day, the private, you know, that the private sector just does not do.
Right.
And personal editorial comment is, we cannot sacrifice the health and welfare of our veterans for the sake of big business. And that's, don't let anybody kid you. That's what's behind this privatization thing.
Hey, Sean, listen, man, thank you for your time today. I want to have you back on. You're tremendous. And it looks like you might be going to the Olympics in 2020, huh?
Man.
Well, I'm still training hard. I still have those hopes. I've got a little bit of a shoulder injury I got to get repaired first. But, yeah, that's still a hope. That's definitely still a I was part of some developmental stuff with Team USA. I actually played for the University of Alabama, you know, for 3 years. And one of my biggest accomplishments is I helped get the first wheelchair basketball arena in the world built on the campus of the University of Alabama. So regardless if I ever get to wear the red, white, and blue across my chest, I'm still very proud that I've left at least somewhat of a legacy in that world.
Absolutely.
That men and women who come after me will be able to take take advantage of and be viewed and be viewed at the same level as any other athlete who comes on that campus, which they deserve.
You're an inspiration, brother.
Absolutely. I can see why you're the deputy executive director of the Paralyzed Veterans of America, Sean. Just a great story. Thank you so much for your service and what you guys are doing.
And say hi to your wife for us.
Absolutely.
I will do. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
We'll be right back with the National Defense right after this word from Farmers Insurance. When you're dealing with life's ups and downs, it helps to know the ins and outs of insurance. Farmers Insurance has been sharing practical insurance knowledge for more than 89 years. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller and another episode of iInsights with VSP. This has been so great and so educational over the past few weeks from VSP Vision Care. Dr. Daniel Mannon is back with us. Dr. Mannon, how are you?
Hey, great. Thanks for having me.
Now, see, this is going to be a great topic for my wife because she's got all kinds of allergies. And we're in allergy season, and you get, you know, a lot of things that are going on. And how bad do you, or is there any way for you to know how bad this allergy season is?
Well, allergies are kind of like the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. But,
and really, I don't think we know. I think there are people who can kind of figure that out. But I can tell you up in Oregon where I live, where it rains all the time, just starting to stop raining, so things are starting to bloom. And when it starts to bloom, my patients start being bothered. And when they start being bothered, my phone starts to ring.
Yeah, see, and this is my wife every morning, because they can kind of tell you what the allergy is by the color now. And she'll say, oh, pollen's in the green. Pollen's in the green. You know, and so there are a lot of things that affect that. Do you see more patients in the spring?
Well, we do. There's two main causes of allergies in the eye. One is pollen, but the other is mold, which is kind of with us all the time. But when either of those happen, basically what happens is your immune system senses that there's an allergen or an irritant, and it begins to overreact. And it's that overreaction that causes all the watering and the itching and the hurting and the redness and the swelling and so on.
Yeah, and I was not aware until last season when I started picking up a couple of things. You can develop allergies at any stage of your life, correct?
That's correct. You certainly can. And I think that's one of the surprises for people. I think they sometimes can confuse even what the problem is. And I think that's one of the things that's important that people understand about allergies is it's very important to get a proper diagnosis so you know exactly what you're dealing with. Allergies are also mimicked by other problems. And one of the common ones in the eye is the dry eye problems often mimic some of the very same symptoms that we just talked about with the allergies. And yet they need to be treated entirely differently. And so some of the allergy treatments will actually make dry eye problems worse.
I was going to ask you about that. How do allergies impact your eyes? That's one of the ways. Are there some other ways that affects your vision maybe?
Well, again, we talked about just the kind of the physical symptoms. But if your tear film is impacted, your tear film, again, we tear up. If your tear film is affected, it certainly can affect clarity of vision, and it can affect a general ability to function because your concentration is impacted and everything else.
Some great information. Dr. Manin, you're chairman of the board for VSP Global. How did we get lucky enough to get the chairman of the board giving us the tips?
Well, you know, I really don't know for sure, but they asked and I said, okay.
So I mean, that's a high bar right there.
And we do have some really great news. Certain retired members of the uniformed services and their families, as well as most of the family members of active duty servicemen and women are going to be offered vision care in January of 2019.
Wow.
And that's quite a ways away, but yet if you want to kind of get primed and ready to go, you can go to tricare.benefeds.com and get some more information, and we're looking forward to seeing many of those folks in our offices.
That's tricare.benefeds.com, BENEFEDS.com. Dr. Manin, listen, it's really been an honor to speak with you. Thank you for the tips, and we'll be back next week with a new edition of Eye Insights with VSP, VSP Vision Care. Thank you, Dr. Manin.
Thanks a lot, Randy. Appreciate it. Thank you.
We'll be back here on the National Defense.